Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki
jai.
Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Giridas Maharaj
ki
jai. Jai Go Prema. So I have your course material printed for this section, the remainder of the 10th canto, so you can collect that at the end of the class. Priority goes to those people taking exams. They actually get the book, and then if there's any extra, then everyone else can take it. So tonight, we will go chapter 51. What is chapter 51 called? Deliverance of Mucha Brinda. So text number 1, 2,
7,
21. Shukadev Goswami said, Kala Yavana saw the Lord come out from Mathura like the rising moon. The Lord was most beautiful to behold, with his dark blue complexion and yellow silk garment. Upon his chest he bore the mark of Sri Vatsa, and the Kostuba gem adorned his neck. His forearms were sturdy and long. He displayed his ever joyful lotus-like face, with eyes pink like lotuses, beautifully effulgent cheeks, a pristine smile, and glittering shark-shaped earrings. The barbarian thought, this person must indeed be Vasudev, since he possesses the characteristics Narada mentioned. He is marked with Sri Vatsa, he has four arms, his eyes are like lotuses, he wears a garland of forest flowers, and he is extremely handsome. He cannot be anyone else. Since he goes on foot and unarmed, I will fight him without weapons. Resolving thus, he ran after the Lord, who turned his back and ran away. Kalayavana hoped to catch Lord Krishna, though great mystic yogis cannot attain him. So read the purport.
Although Kalyavana was seeing Lord Krishna with his own eyes, he could not adequately appreciate the beautiful Lord. Thus, instead of worshipping Krishna, he attacked him. Similarly, it is not uncommon for modern men to attack Krishna in the name of philosophy, law and order, and even religion.
Okay. So any points there?
Why did Krishna appear in his forearm thing?
He's showing that he's the Lord of Dwarka. He's showing that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, he doesn't emphasize being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He just emphasizes being a cowherd boy, although he is obviously extraordinary. But here, he's showing us, and he's showing in his Leela, that he is the supreme entity, he is Narayan.
Why do they do that here? I mean, that's the first time.
He's in Dwarka. It's not the first time. He also showed a forearm form when he was in Vrindavan with the gopis. It's not the first time he showed. When he appeared, he showed a forearm form. It's not the first time in his pastimes that he's shown a forearm form, but he chooses to at this point in time, showing his supremacy.
Are the others four-handed form too, or only the Kalyavana?
That's up to Krishna. But it doesn't describe that just. There may have been other people who may have seen it as well.
Okay.
Any other points?
Even during the pastime, there was the Uttara moon pastime, when there was a disagreement on what to do with Ashwatthama. At that time, when Bhima disagrees, and he says that I will go and kill him, that time Krishna shows his paradox. He just controls him. He just studied that.
Yes, yeah, so he's shown it a few times already in the Bhagavad Gita in these past times.
Then he has to establish his supremacy and say everyone keep quiet and I'm there. So he also gives that message of supremacy he shows.
Yeah, sometimes he'll show it just to show that he's none different from Narayan. He's the Supreme Lord. So that's for his Leela.
The other point here is the way of seeing the Lord is through the ears. Shravanadi Chitta Shuddhi Pandava.
Can't hear.
Shravanadi Chitta Shuddhi Pandava. We cannot see the Lord with our eyes. It has to start. Prabhupada always writes in Bhagavad Gita. We must appreciate the Lord, we have to appreciate through the ears. Only then our eyes can see him eventually.
Yeah.
You can't see him with your eyes.
Oh.
Duryodhana was also seen. So many personalities. Now Kalyana.
Seeing but not seeing.
Seeing him but not seeing. And actually Kunti Maharani also writes in that pastime that I am seeing you but I am not seeing you. Even she is saying that. What to speak of Kalyana. She says that I can't understand you. Sometimes you protect, you killed, though Draupadi was there, you killed this child. But at the same time you are protecting Parikshit. So it's, and then Ashwatthama, you gave this decision. I can't understand. She says, though I am seeing you, I can't see you. And then in that famous verse is you are like a puppeteer in the drama. You can't understand.
What are the actor in the
stage? Famous verse.
Good point.
And on the other hand, if we see Rukmini and the woman's wife, they had never seen Krishna, but they had heard about him and they got attracted to his form. So, seeing is not everything. Because if you see, he will not recognize you, he's like Kalyana or something that he recognizes. Because there is no love in his
heart.
The others have not seen, but they have so much love for Krishna that he just by hearing about him.
Good point.
Because the Lord comes to. Lord is showing his Nara-like pastimes. So when, if we only see it through the eyes, then we will consider him as an ordinary human being because that is how he is come into the world. To show himself amongst everyone. So one can take him in casual.
Good. Anything else?
If this description of his beauty and everything looks like, you know, as if Balavacharya is describing then Madhurasta.
So, in Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says, Premanjanaj Charita Bhakti Valochanena. That one must develop prema, anjana. Anjana means like a smearing on the eyes, kajal, like that. So, you must smear the eyes with the salve of love. Then you can see Krishna. If you have love for Krishna, you will see him. If we don't have love for Krishna, we cannot see him. Even when we see the deity, according to our development of bhakti, then the deity will reveal itself. Krishna will reveal himself within the deity. You'll get reciprocation. But it has to be according to your level of devotion. So we see many times in the pastimes there are people like this, but they cannot perceive or understand Krishna, as the devotees have mentioned, Duryodhana and Kaliyavana and different personalities, but they cannot understand Krishna. Even in this world, you'll see sometimes, you know, people got association with Prabhupada, you know, who's a Mahabhagavat, paternal associate of the Lord, but they cannot perceive or understand his position. So this is the defect. So one has to change one's consciousness. That's why it's called Krishna consciousness. If you have proper consciousness, then you can perceive Krishna. Otherwise, he will remain distant. So here, we see Kaliyavana, he sees him and he says he must be Vasudev. So he may even understand he is the supreme entity. But because there's no bhakti, there is envy, matsa, then he cannot surrender to Krishna. He becomes inimical. So he takes the role of wanting to fight with Krishna or destroy Krishna. So Prabhupada explains that the Mayavadis and the demons get the same destination. Because the Mayavadi, he wants to destroy Krishna's form, philosophically. He tries to convince people God does not have a form. So he tries to attack the form of Krishna. And so does the demon. He tries to attack the form of Krishna. So because they have the same mentality, which is demoniac, Mayavadis are considered demoniac. So therefore, if they have that mentality, they get the same position as the demons, which means the best they can get is Sayuja Mukti. They can merge into the Brahma Jyoti. That they cannot get an opportunity for service. So that is the position of someone who is inimical towards Krishna. So we see here that when Krishna is on the planet, and I was studying this section today, this whole section, next say, six chapters or so. So when Krishna comes to earth, there is opposition. Not everyone cooperates, not everyone surrenders. Cooperation and surrender is only found properly and completely in the spiritual sky, in Vaikuntha. That's why it's called Vaikuntha. Because everyone is submissive to Krishna. No one is envious of Krishna. But down here, Krishna's devotees become covered, and then they become envious. It even describes when Krishna was fighting in his form of Varaha Dev. He was fighting with Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyaksha attacked him. And previously, Hiranyaksha was Jai Vijay. The two brothers, the two guards of Vaikuntha. Then they took birth. So it says that when they attacked Varahadev, then Varahadev felt some pain in his heart. Why is my devotee attacking me? So when come to this material world, there will be animosity. People will be inimical to us. Even Krishna gets it. When he comes to the material world, people are inimical to him. It's not like everyone loves him and everyone treats him nicely. Does any, do you have any experience that people are inimical to you? Too much? What can you do? You can't escape it, actually. You can't escape it. Unless you give up all contact with people. Go into near Jan Bhajan. That's why the sages used to go into the forest, traditionally, in the Vedic times. They would go into the forest just to get away from people. It's too complicated. So there's always animosity. So Krishna says, tolerate it. Matraspashas tukuntiya. And then he says, titiksha. Titiksha means we have to tolerate it. Because you can't change it. I do my best to change it all the time. To minimize, to avoid, to please all the people who give me problems, and it doesn't work. They're still never happy. And they always come from a different angle. And then this one doesn't get along with this one, and then you're caught in the middle. Why do you favor that one more than you favor me? Wives, mothers-in-laws. There's all these different leelas taking place in families, then friends and everything. So many difficulties. You cannot avoid it. So we should take strength, because even today, this morning, I had to manage, the farm's busy, we just had a retreat all weekend, and then this morning, one of the first services I had to do, I had to speak to someone who was not behaving properly on the farm, one guest, volunteer assistant. So actually, it's not enjoyable to have to speak like that. And to actually deal like that and get into that type of consciousness. So I walked away and I thought, this is just, I just want to get up. Monday's my day where I teach. I just want to be in good consciousness for the devotees, absorb myself in Bhagavatam, and go and preach. I don't want to have to deal with animosity and people who are not cooperating and all this. So then after I had to deal with that, then I came back and then I started studying Bhagavatam. And then as soon as I open up, practically Krishna's dealing with the same thing. So it gave me strength, it gave me inspiration. If Krishna is dealing with it, and he does not lose his focus, and he remains fixed, then I should also try that. I should not get disturbed so much. It's difficult. Anyway, no one likes it. No one likes unpleasant dealings. But the fact is, in the material world, you can't. And even this morning, this person who I was speaking to, I had to say some things and, you know, give some advice. The person became angry on me. Well, I started getting like aggressive and like this. So then, you know, I try in my life now not to get, oh, it's easy to get into that consciousness. And then, you know, everything escalates. So I just tried to stay, I just kept making my points, but trying to stay grounded and just try to be a little bit humble and just say, you know, this is not appropriate, this behavior. And then that person became pacified and then they began to understand it, like that. But it's tiring. So all of these dealings we have in the material world are for one thing. What is all the difficulty we go through the material world for? Yeah, so we become detached from this material world. You have to become detached. I got a nice photo the other day on WhatsApp. WhatsApp key?
Yeah.
Right. Good for some things. So one devotee sent one message, TKG Sangha, like you probably have Jagataka Swami Sangha, and everyone has their WhatsApp, you know, all day, like bing, 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 bing. Actually, on WhatsApp, I turn the sound off so I don't get all the bings. So on this TKG Sangha, they're always throwing everything. It was very nice. The other day, I got a picture of my guru, and I was in the picture. I was standing just behind him. It was very powerful. When I saw it, it struck me. Because, you know, he's there. So then, you know, there's a little caption. One lesson from him that he wrote, not that he said, and one devotee put it there and then like that. And I thought, this must be for me. I'll have to memorize it, exactly how he said it. But basically, what he said, you have to learn to let go of this world. You have to let go. Because the only reason we're attached to it is because we're attached to it. That's all. We keep holding it. But inside, you have to just let go. And that's what it, that's what all the problems in this world teach us. You know, we just let go. So you should have that feeling coming in Krishna consciousness. And if you're sincere, Krishna will give you that feeling. He will increase that for you. If you keep doing service to him and really surrender more and surrender more and surrender more, even through the difficulties, as Lord Brahma says, in the inner core of your heart, you keep offering obeisances to the Lord, even when it's very difficult. And then you become Daya Bhak. It becomes your rightful heir to go back to Krishna. So that is the point. Krishna is detaching us from this world. And even in Kriya, like I'm reading this next section, which we'll be studying in the next, you know, month or two, and then it's all animosity. As soon as he comes here, now, you know, in Vrindavan, I mean, in Vrindavan, there was like demons coming all the time. But now, he's just dealing with politics. Like every chapter, there's someone attacking him and fighting with him. And I'm sure Krishna just wants, you know, peace. He just wants to live in Dwarka peacefully. But constantly, someone's coming and attacking. So that's the lesson. In this world, you cannot escape this. The 10th canto is teaching us, as the whole Bhagavad Gita is, you have to become detached from this world. When we become detached, then we can understand Krishna's pastimes. So, any points?
When you say you have to let go of this world?
Means become detached. Lose interest in it.
Okay.
Any other points?
Probably you said that before the sages used to just go to the forest because they don't want to get any complexities. But the problem is we can't go to the forest. And like you said, try to avoid as much, but it's easier said than done.
If you we can't go to the forest because that doesn't work, but we can go to, you know, there's many places, even in ISKCON, there's places you can go. You can get a little room in Mayapur, just do bhajan, you know, just come out to see the deities. There's probably devotees doing that. you know, I know some devotees at Radhika and they kind of live like that. You know, there's one ashram that I'd visit. Some of my friends stay in Radhika and ISKCON devotees. And some of the devotees there, they don't talk very much. They come out and they just kind of go Hare Krishna and they go to Radhika and come back and they're just chanting all day, reading all day. They've kind of withdrawn, you can see in their consciousness. They're not very... So you can do it, but as you said, it's not easy to do it. One time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said that every Ekadashi, for a number of years, he used to chant 80 rounds. I mean, 64 plus, normally you're 16, so 16 plus an extra 6, so 80 rounds. So he did that for a few years. And then he said one time, he wanted to experience what it was like for Haridas Thakur. It's Haridas Thakur chanting 100 and 92. Right. So that's 3 lakhs. So he said in Singapore one time he did it. Whole Ekadashi. No sleeping, no eating, no drinking, just chanting. Right. It was interesting because he said, I didn't feel any more purified than just chanting 16 rounds and doing a normal day of service in ISKCON. Yeah, unless you have like exalted taste for the holy name. Just what we do. So we, you know, it won't be practical for us to go near Jhan, you know, because we're not that fixed up or elevated. But if we just do what we do in the service of ISKCON and just absorb ourselves in preaching and doing our 16 rounds in our sadhana, then we'll become sufficiently purified as much as going out to the forest. And all the austerities we have to endure, and all the difficulties we have to endure, the Krishna will bless us, will become purified for that. So many difficulties in the preaching. Preaching means opposition, it means difficulties. So. Any other points?
When you were saying about Mayavadi, I was thinking of Mahaprabhu's comment, Mayavadi Sunile Hoi Bhash
Saranai. Don't even look at one. Lord Chaitanya says, do not even see the face.
Bhash Sunile
Hoi Saranai. What should we do if we're in India? And we see a Mayavad Sannyasi, what should you do? Huh? Actually, you should offer obeisances. That's actually Vaishnava etiquette. You should offer obeisances. Prabhupada says that.
To Mayavadi?
Yeah, to Mayavadi. Sannyasi.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should offer obeisances because Prabhupada said they're advanced transcendentalists. Even they can give blessing. They're on the spiritual path. At the moment, they're in Maya. If they get into some good association, they may come across. But they're advanced. They can bless you. So you should offer respect like that. Lord Chaitanya says, jump in the Ganga. Yeah, he says that. So you probably have several options.
But Ganga is not
Yeah, you're probably not going to do it anyway. Yeah, you get to the Ganga and you say, oh, I can't swim, it's too cold. I didn't bring a gumsha.
You have to take a flight, first of all.
Any other point?
When we were in India, you told the story of... I think he was sannyas carried in a basket and someone gave him some money. And
Jagannath Das Babaji.
What you were talking about reminded me of that of being detached. So it would be nice.
Yeah. Anything else?
I was listening to one lecture and that speaker said, you know, we should not take this material world so seriously. It's like a dream. We should think, see the material world as a dream. And you know, try to forget everything.
Why do you take it so seriously then?
So conditioned.
All your bangles and bindis and saris.
Bhagavad Gita says that the demons cannot wait in the law. You say that Amjanatma Moda Manishanatu, Parambhav Madanantu, Mahabhutta Maheshwara. The Lord cannot recognize the law, even if it is all the desire.
Yeah, he could not understand Krishna. Okay. Appearing virtually within reach of Kali Yavana's hands at every moment, Lord Hari led the king of the Yavanas far away to a mountain cave. So this is mystic potency. Kaliyavana, just imagine you're just running, you're just about to grab someone, and as you grab them, they're just a little bit further away. And you just keep doing it and keep doing it like that, and chasing him for a long distance, but you can't quite get to them. It's mystical. Third canto, when Varaha fights with Hiranyaksha, and Hiranyaksha goes to grab him, and then when he looks, then he's there next to him. That's his mystic potency. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, of cheaters, I am the cheat. You try to cheat Krishna, what will take place? Yeah, he will embarrass you. Yeah, sometimes we do, we get a little bit tricky, and then Krishna is always there. Whatever we do, then he is always there to teach us. If we start to lose our focus, Krishna will correct us immediately. While chasing the Lord, the Yavana cast insult him, saying, "You took birth in the Yadu dynasty. It's not proper for you to run away." But still, Kaliyavana could not reach Lord Krishna because his sinful reactions had not been cleansed away. There's two important points in that verse. One is those who are in the higher castes, particularly the Kshatriyas, they should always be responsible. They should never run away from their responsibility. And that's something we have to do as well as devotees. Even the unpleasant things, sometimes as a devotee you have to do unpleasant things, but you have to do it on behalf of Krishna. Just like this morning I had to talk to this person and unpleasant, but then I thought to myself, actually I don't want to do it, but if I don't do it I'm neglecting my responsibility. So I have to do it. And that's culture actually. And that's why Krishna is being chastised by Kaliyavana. Why are you running away? Kshatriya should stand and fight. I've come to you, I'm challenging you, you should fight. If you read Mahabharata is very big, like 118,000 verses. Two-thirds of Mahabharata are just the battle. Day one, day two, day... It goes on and on and on and on. If you have Kshatriya spirit, it's very relishable to hear these pastimes. So there was one morning of the battle. Everyone was arranging their armies and all the generals were getting their soldiers and getting arranged in the phalanx. And then Arjuna was challenged because the Kauravas wanted to distract Arjuna. They had a plan that particular day. Maybe it was the day they were attacking Abhimanyu, I think. It was one of the days. So they wanted to distract Arjuna. So then one Kshatriya came and he said, they're actually three brothers and they, rulers of a dynasty, very bad, they had an army. And they said, "Bring your army. If you're actually the most powerful warrior on the planet, we will see that today." So Arjuna immediately said to his army, "Okay, we're going over there." So they all moved a few kilometers across in front of his army and then they spent the day fighting and Arjuna destroyed them. So that is Kshatriya spirit. Kshatriya spirit means you cannot back down from your responsibilities. And as devotees, we have to do the unpleasant thing. We just want to do the pleasant things all the time. And we want to do the easy services, but we have to do the unpleasant services as well. Sometimes you have to correct devotees or you have to point out discrepancies or, it's our responsibility. That's culture. And Krishna does it as well. Here he's running away because this is lila. No, that's okay. Krishna can run away. There's no problem because he's having a pastime. But we should not run away. That's the point. We should stand and do our duty. The second point is that Kaliyavana is not sufficiently purified to see Krishna. That's why Krishna is keeping a distance. And it's interesting, if you go back to Canto 1, when Vidura was removed from Hastinapur, Dhritarashtra said, "You have to leave." He was insulted. So Vidura left his bow on the door and he left. So it's interesting because he walked out and Krishna was on the planet. So the most obvious thing to do would be going to associate with Krishna because Krishna's there. But because of his association with sinful people, first he had to purify himself. So I think the Bhagavatam mentions, how long was it? 27 years or something. It says he had to travel for like 27 years or something during pilgrimage, Vidura. Going around doing pilgrimage to purify the consciousness so then he could get Krishna's association. So Kali Yavana, right, he's there with Krishna. Krishna won't touch him or associate with him because he's too sinful. Yavana. Mm-hmm. What does Yavana mean? Yeah. There's that verse in the first canto, and then Prabhupada in the purport, he said, these are these ones. I think the Malechas are the Greeks, I think, from memory. I think the Yavanas are the Turks, I think, from memory. Like that. So they were Kshatriyas. The Greeks are very strong, but they're Kshatriyas, but fallen. They eat meat and everything. And the Turks, also very strong race, but they also fallen. They eat the animals and like that. So the Malechas, the Yavanas, they're considered to be outside the Vedic system. They're Kshatriya by birth, but they become fallen by improper sinful activity. And when you perform sinful activity, it puts a barrier between you and Krishna. That's why we have to be strict. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Right? Three of the regulative principles are easy. Right? We never think, oh, I'll go and gamble, I'll go and take intoxication, or I'll eat meat. But illicit sex, that is difficult. Right? And many of the Grihasthas, they struggle with that principle. That's the principle which is the typical one. Yeah, understandably. My Guru Maharaj said, in Sydney, I remember he was giving a class. He said, "What can you expect? We're so fallen in this day and age. We've had so much pollution, contamination before we became devotees. That's why we struggle with this principle of illicit sex." So that is a difficult thing in Kali Yuga to follow because people are contaminated. But all these contaminations, all these sinful activities, they put a barrier between us and Krishna. And here, Kali Yavana, because he's a meat eater and all these things, Krishna won't touch him. At least Jarasandha's following something. So, you know, Krishna was fighting with him and Balaram grabbed him and that. But with Kali Yavana, Krishna's just, "I'm not even touching this guy. He's too sinful." He just runs off. Kali Yavana has to chase him like that. He said, I'll kill him with Muchakunda. I won't even kill him myself. He's so sinful. Any points?
Benediction
that Kalevan can't be after
Yadus. He will be killed by the Kalevan.
He can't be killed
by the Yadus? No, the... Yeah, that's right. Yadus will be killed by Kalevan. The Muni was feeling bad. Then he did the austerity and he got the reputation as a son that he would kill all the Yadus.
Yeah. Any other points? Okay. So up to nine. Although insulted in this way, the Supreme Lord entered the mountain cave. Kali Yavana also entered, and there he saw another man lying asleep. So after leading me such a long distance, now he is lying here like some saint. Thus thinking the sleeping man to be the Lord, to be Lord Krishna, the deluded fool kicked him with all of his strength. The man awoke after a long sleep and slowly opened his eyes. Looking all about, he saw Kaliyavana standing beside him. The awakened man was angry and cast his glance at Kaliyavana, whose body burst into flames. In a single moment, O King Parikshit, Kaliyavana was burnt to ashes. Sri Chaitanya.
The man who incinerated Kalyavana with his glance was named Muchikunda. As he will explain to Lord Krishna, he had fought for a long time on behalf of the demigods, finally taking as his benediction the right to sleep undisturbed. The Harivamsa explains that he secured the further benediction of being able to destroy anyone who disturbed his sleep. Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from Sri Harivamsa as follows. Again and again Muchikunda said, O demigods, with eyes blazing with anger, may I incinerate anyone who awakens me from sleep. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that Muchikunda made this rather morbid request to scare Lord Indra, who Muchikunda thought might otherwise wake him repeatedly to request his sleep in fighting in Indra's cosmic enemies. Indra's consequent to Muchikunda's request is described in Sri Vishnu Puran as follows. The demigods declare, whoever awakens you from sleep will suddenly be burned to ashes by a fire generated from his own body.
Mm. Any points?
The Lord, when he does something, he uses the other benedictions that he can kill him. So he uses them from that.
Anything else?
There are two things that Muchikunda wanted.
Speak loud.
There are two things that Muchikunda wanted. One was that he was longing to see Krishna. But the benediction which was given by Garga Muni was that he will have to wait for many years. And he said, let me at least keep it over there. That was one. Other one was that he was also afraid that Indra will again follow him to fight. He didn't want to get entangled in all this. So he said.
Yeah.
Actually, I read somewhere that the Lord put his yellow garment, on the Muchikunda. That's why Kalyavana got
confused. Krishna is tricky. So yeah, it's an interesting point. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that he was a great devotee, Muchikunda. So he was thinking of Krishna continuously. But because he was fighting in the heavenly planets, then time is different from the heaven to earth. The heavenly planets, the time frame goes for much longer. A day is much longer. 6 months here is a day, 6 months is a night. So it's a different time frame. So he fought for a long time. And then his real desire was to see Krishna. He was a great devotee. So because he wanted to see Krishna, he had to come back to earth and wait for Krishna to come, which was going to be many yugas would pass. So he got the benediction that he could sleep until that time when Krishna appeared. And he was given the blessing, you will see Krishna. So he just wanted to avoid. So the same message, we want to avoid materialistic association. But it doesn't mean we should oversleep. That's not the way to avoid materialistic association. It's one way to do it, but it's not the way it's recommended. I was reading the other day, Srila Prabhupada was having a conversation, and Prabhupada said, sleep is death. And that's how Prabhupada saw it. That's why he was only doing 2 hours a night. Go to bed at 10:30, get up at 12:30, and then he would sit here and he would translate. And then after his massage, he would rest for half, after breakfast he'd rest for half an hour, after lunch he'd rest for half an hour, so it's like 3 hours of rest, and then he had the massage, so that was like 4 hours. That was it, 3 to 4 hours. So we should, as much as practical, we should try to follow that example, not oversleep, but don't sleep too little. Krishna says in Gita, don't sleep too much. Too little is also not good, because if you sleep too little, your intelligence will become weak. Third canto of Bhagavatam says, Sleep is a function of?
No.
Intelligence. Yeah. Intelligence is resting while you're sleeping. That's why if you don't sleep properly, you become very... I need to sleep about 7 hours a day. That's what I need to sleep. And I'd like to sleep less, but my body doesn't work. If I go back to like 6 hours or 5 hours, I can do it for 2 or 3 days. But after that, I become really... I can't focus on things. And then my classes are just... whatever I'm saying, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Yeah. So we have to sleep enough. But here he got the benediction. You'll see Krishna, so he just thought, let me become uninvolved, went into the cave and just rested. Okay. Any points?
Actually, Muchakunda was needed to fight for the devas because Kartikeya was away. But when Kartikeya came back, he said that you can be happy.
Yeah.
So why was he scared that he never called him again?
Just in the material world, you never know what's going to happen. So,
I'm just thinking that Muchakunda's strategy is similar to our life.
What's that?
Muchakunda's strategy is very similar to our life as devotees who are in corporate life. The Indra's office keep demanding more and more, and we lie low. So they don't disturb us.
What do you do?
We lie low. The Indras are like the corporate bosses, demanding again and again, come and work on weekends also. What is life though? Just do our job and try to get out from there.
King Parikshit said, who was that person, O Brahmana? To which family did he belong and what were his powers? Why did that destroyer of the barbarian lie down to sleep in the cave, and whose son was he? Shukadeva Goswami said, Muchakunda was the name of this great personality who was born in the Ikshwaku dynasty as the son of Mandata. He was devoted to Brahminical culture and always true to his vow in battle. So two interesting points there. These are the qualities which a Kshatriya must have. So in Kali Yuga, we say a leader. If we're a leader, so everyone's a leader. If you're a parent, then you're a leader. You're leading your children. Or if you're a Bhakti Vriksha leader, then you're leading your Bhakti Vriksha group. Or if you're a Diksha guru, you're leading your disciples. If you're a temple president, whatever it is, you have to lead. So all of us are leaders to different levels. So these two things are required in leadership. What is the first one? Yeah, you have to respect Brahminical culture. Leadership, and Prabhupada actually said this is the purpose of ISKCON. The purpose of ISKCON is to facilitate hearing and chanting. That's the purpose. People come to our temples to hear about Krishna and to engage in kirtan. If that's not taking place, Prabhupada said, the temple will become rubbish. He actually said that. He said they just worship the deity, the temple will become rubbish. It's not the purpose of coming to the temple. Just to see, that's like Indian kind of culture these days. People just go to temples, they just see the deity. And then do something like that. Pray for whatever they're praying for. And they walk out. That's it. Don't hear from anyone. ISKCON should not be like that. The deities are there for us to worship, to surrender to. To attract us, right? But then we must hear and chant, and then our attachment to the deities will increase. If you don't hear and chant, your attachment to the deities does not increase. That's why we have to hear about Krishna. By hearing about him. I used to do Mangalati when I was a brahmachari, so I used to go and do Mangalati, worship Radha Ballabha. And then I remember my Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he gave a seminar on Prarthana. Prarthana is one of the books written by Narottama Das Thakur. So this particular series that he gave, like a lecture on Prarthana, He was going very deep into some higher things in Krishna consciousness, becoming attracted to Krishna. And when I was listening to that, and then when I'd go and worship the deity, Mangala Aarti for the deity, then the aarti was coming to life. By hearing about Krishna then, my savour to Krishna became impregnated with potency. From hearing from the guru, then we learned how to worship Krishna. Not just doing the formalities, you know, 4, 2, 3, 7. That's the formality. But what is the bhava, or the feeling, while doing the aarti? So by hearing, then we develop our relationship with Krishna. So a leader must respect and facilitate Brahminical culture. All of us have to make sure people are hearing about Krishna. And then secondly, what is the second quality? Due to his vows. As it says here. Yeah, specifically, what does it say? True to his vow in battle. That's the same point. If you're a leader, you can't back down. There's the problem in Kali Yuga. It's the problem. I see amongst devotees. No one wants to say anything. Oh, don't say this. Oh, don't say that. Oh, like that. No, you have to say it. If something is defective or improper or not up to the right standard, you have to say it. Just like the other day, we had a kitchen inspection at the farm. So the council came to inspect our kitchen. Is it clean? So we got 5-star rating, you know, in the last 5 years. You know, like very puckered. But then after the council had to, I said to the devotees, now it stays like this. Not just once a year the council comes and then we clean everything and like that. No, the standard should not drop, it should stay like this. So one of the devotees saying, oh, I'm busy. No, I said no. So we have to point these things out. That's the point. So here, he is true to his vow in battle. So we can't back down. We have to keep the standards. And Prabhupada insisted standards have to be kept high. You know, when he established the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. So, if you stay in Vrindavan, you know, there's the bell up above the main entrance when you come into the temple. And Prabhupada insisted, even to this day, like 40 years or so since Prabhupada was on the planet, that bell has to ring on the hour and on the half hour. Prabhupada, that was his insistence and instruction. And he said, if that is maintained, the temple will always function nicely. He said, if that is neglected, everything else will be neglected. So wherever you are in Vrindavan, you'll always hear ding at 4:30. Right? And when it's 4 o'clock, you hear ding, 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 4 times. And Prabhupada insisted that had to be maintained. Yeah. So these are standards. Prabhupada expected these things. Any points? On the half hour, they just do one, like a ding, like that.
Okay.
Just listen next time you're there, you'll see. And then there was that pastime. Dhananjaya Prabhu. He said, Prabhupada's original instruction was the bell goes in the tree. You know, there's a tree, the tamal tree in the courtyard. Prabhupada wanted the bell in the tree, and then Dhananjaya Prabhu put it up there instead. He didn't follow Prabhupada's instruction. Then they were walking in. Prabhupada went for a morning walk, and then he came back just when the deities had been greeted. So they're ringing the bell, and they're pulling the bell, and the rope was rubbing on the wall, and then they're pulling it like that, and then it frayed, and then it broke right in front of Prabhupada. And Dhananjaya Prabhu, he was walking with Prabhupada, and then the rope snapped, and everyone was like that. And Prabhupada said, this has happened because you did not follow my instruction. And he said, why did you not follow my instruction? Because there's nothing up here. He said, only cow dung. He said, only cow dung up here. Nothing else. That's Prabhupada's instruction. Yeah, he was very heavy sometimes. The bell should have been in the tree instead of up on the other. And then another time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was with Prabhupada. It was 1977, beginning of the year. And Prabhupada went to Rishikesh, was it? He went to rest. I think it was in Rishikesh. And he asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj to do something. And then later on, He said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, did you do that? And he said, no, Prabhupada, I forgot. And Prabhupada said, everything is useless. Everything. He said, only cow dung. He said it again. He said, only cow dung. He said, everything is useless. Yeah. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, that's like after nine years of being Prabhupada's servant and Prabhupada's conclusion, everything is useless. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to say that to us, because you know, he was quite heavy. You know, he could be very heavy sometimes. And then he used to say to us, he said to us one time down there in the reception, used to be the dining room, he chastised us, and then he said, what do you think it was like being chastised by Prabhupada? He said, being chastised by me is nothing. He said, what do you think it was like being chastised by Prabhupada? When Prabhupada chastised you, that was it. It's like your whole world just disappeared. Prabhupada could be very heavy. Only cow dung.
I thought it, but I didn't say it.
But the point is there. What will make Prabhupada happy? That's the point. That's what all this is about. What will make Prabhupada happy? What will make Guru happy? Because if Guru is happy, if Vaishnavas are happy, if Prabhupada is happy, then Krishna will be happy. Right? If they're not satisfied with us, that means Krishna is not satisfied. It means we have to change. One time Tamal Krishna Maharaj just out here, just out there, I said something. We had a darshan in this room and I said something and it was the wrong thing. He got upset. And then everyone left the darshan. And I knew he was upset with me, so I stayed. And then he went to the bathroom and he came out. He was going into the double room. And he walked past me and I said, I'm sorry. You know, I said like that. And he walked to his door and he said, I don't want your apologies, I want you to change. Right? And he slammed the door. Walked in. I was like, oh, God. Have to chastise. And the guru has to chastise the disciple. The senior devotees have to chastise. Otherwise, we don't improve in our devotional service. Necessary. Right. And we should.
That's very true.
What's that?
That's very true.
What's that?
Because if you do something wrong, and if you just say, sorry, but that doesn't mean anything unless you change yourself.
Yeah. That's what he said.
That's very true.
Yeah. Okay. Begged by Indra and the other demigods to help protect them when they were terrorized by the demons, Muchakunda defended them for a long time. When the demigods obtained Kartikeya as their general, they told Muchakunda, O king, you may now give up your troublesome duty of guarding us. Abandoning an unopposed kingdom in the world of men, a valiant one, you neglected all your personal desires while engaged in protecting us. So, there's another very important point about the higher orders, about the Kshatriyas, the Brahmanas, the Vaishyas. You can never abandon your duty. If you're given seva, you have to do the seva. I've seen over the years, some devotees, they're very whimsical with their seva. You know, ring up, Prabhu, I can't do it, this or that. Don't take the seva. If you're going to do the seva, do it. The most advanced devotees are steady. If you want to see someone who's advanced, you can judge by their steadiness. That's one of the ways to understand. Just like, you know, who's the most advanced devotees in ISKCON? You look at ISKCON, you know, and those who are currently with us, you know, you meditate, who are the most advanced? You know, one of the first person that comes to my mind is Janani Vas Prabhu, Pankajangri Prabhu. How long is that now? 45 years. Been worshipping the deity. That's bhakti. 45 years worshipping the deity. Right? Every day, just without fail. Right? That's bhakti. Steadiness. Right? The reason ISKCON doesn't spread is because devotees don't remain fixed in their service. Prabhupada didn't like it when we gave up our service. He had to stick with that. That's the point. And Prabhupada said, actually, that's the qualification to become a brahmana. If you want second initiation in the ISKCON, you have to be steady. You can't be someone who, you know, doesn't turn up for the service and all these things. Otherwise, you commit aparat to the deity. What did Prabhupada say? The two most important things in deity worship. Huh? Cleanliness and punctuality. They're the two most important things in deity worship. The other important thing is that you should not speak while engaged in seva of the deity. It says in the Nectar of Devotion, one should not break silence. While sometimes you hear devotees doing seva, but they're speaking. It's not appropriate. Should be silent while worshipping the deity, just fully focused on the seva. Get a point, or? You want to say something? No. Anything else? The children, queens, relatives, ministers, advisors, and subjects who were your contemporaries are no longer alive. They have all been swept away by
time.
Okay. So here is some philosophy. Krishna says in Gita, Kalosmi, I am time. Time is described here and also in the Gita, inexhaustible. It doesn't stop. You know the English saying, time and tide wait for no man. Just goes. That's time. So he's up there. He says, now I'll go back and see everyone. Everyone's gone. Same thing happened with who? Someone else went up to see. Went to see Lord Brahma. Yeah, Ravi's father, whatever his name is. Revata. Yeah, he went up to see Lord Brahma. Asked for, can you arrange something for the marriage? He said, everything's gone. And that's the nature of this world. All passes quickly in time. Inexhaustible time, stronger than the strong, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Like a herdsman moving his animals along, He moves mortal creatures as His pastime. So that is time and is indomitable. I was meditating on this today while I'm studying this. So, hands up if you're quite exhausted in your life.
Number two,
hey, okay, so I've got about 95%. A couple of those say they're not exhausted. I don't know how they're doing that. So, please instruct me how you're not exhausted. But we're all exhausted. I'm exhausted, I tell you. I just went away, had a break. Remember, I came a couple of weeks ago, I went and had a break. 4 days after getting back, I was exhausted. It's like, oh God, every weekend at the moment. This week I've got a catering job. Last two weekends, retreats at the farm. And then Monday, back into it, come back up here, and then go back, get everything ready. It's just like non-stop at the moment. So I'm just exhausted. I was just meditating on this, is the nature of time. So we have to be very intelligent in our application of Krishna consciousness, not to waste the time, so that we keep making advancement. Because Prabhupada said, sleep and sickness are maya trying to stop your service. If you sleep too much, or if you get sick, that is maya stopping you from serving Krishna. A certain degree is within our control, actually. A certain degree. Not everything, but you know, you're going to get sick, nothing can stop it. But so, what's the most common reason devotees get sick? Diet. They don't eat properly. And then everyone gets sick. Right? And everyone says, oh, why am I sick? You do it. Like I did a liver cleanse last night. I told you this many times. So I fasted yesterday. And then I drink olive oil and lemon juice. You should do this every 6 months. Very good for the health. And all the gallstones stuck in the cholesterol stuck in the liver, all come out. Like that. Very exhausting. But then afterwards you feel much better. Is maintenance. We have to do maintenance. Regular fasting, regular like that. keep the body healthy so you can serve Krishna. Yeah. So nicely. Half a cup of olive oil, 3/4 of a cup of lemon juice. I have to describe how to do it. You have to do it properly, otherwise you'll get sick. I'll do Ayurvedic workshop another day. All good fortune to you. Now please choose a benediction from us, anything but liberation, since only the infallible Lord Vishnu can bestow that. Address us, King Muchukunda took his respectful leave of the demigods and went to a cave where he lay down to enjoy the sleep they had granted him. So he got a benediction from the devatas, right? You have to choose your benedictions very wisely. When you go before the deities, be very careful what you pray for. Be very careful. The deities can give you anything, right? And when you go before saintly persons, your guru and saintly advanced devotees, be very careful what you desire and what you ask for, the benediction. Right? Because they can grant these things. So, you know, his motivation was, let me sleep. Why? Because I sleep, and then when I wake up, I'll see Krishna. That was his only motivation. He wanted to see Krishna. So he thought, this is the best thing for my service, to sleep it off, let the whole material world pass. Krishna will come, I'll wake up, and then I'll see him. So be very careful what you desire. Srila Prabhupada ki.